Today's message is going to be a reminder of who our enemy is. Our enemy is Satan. All right. So I'm going to give you a reminder of who is Satan. Who is our enemy? Our enemy is Satan. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 14, start reading here in verse number 12. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So who is Satan? We're going to look at that here this afternoon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, I just come to You now and I need You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You use me here today. And I pray, Lord, that You fill me with Your Spirit. I pray You give me Your words. I pray You give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, Lord. And I pray, Lord, You give me boldness to speak Your word here today from the truths of Your word. And Lord, You speak to the hearts of those here today. Only You can do that. We'll give You the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Satan was created as one of God's highest angels. If you noticed in our text that we just read, five times Satan said, "I will." Right? I will. The pride of Lucifer. Lucifer is Satan, and he was trying to be like the Most High God. Satan rebelled against God, and he led many angels to rebel against God as well, and they were cast out of heaven. And now here we are, we have an enemy in Satan. Satan is our enemy. Get that. He is our enemy. He is the wicked one. He is a thief. He is a destroyer. He is the devil. And many people in this world today have actually denied the existence of a real devil, right? Many people believe that the devil is just a figment of their imagination. He is just something that mankind has made up. But let me tell you, the devil is real, okay? He is not a myth. He is not a figment of your imagination or let alone anyone's imagination. He is a real person and he wants to destroy you. He is not a scary person that's pictured out on all the billboards as a picture of a red man, a man in a red suit with a pitchfork. Okay, that is not Satan. Okay, he is an angel of light. All right, he is Satan, and Satan is a person just as real as God. We got to understand this. He's not as powerful as God, but he is just as real as God. He is known in this world as the little g god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, and the devil desires to do nothing more than to devour you. He's walking around seeking whom he can devour. He wants to destroy you, and he will do all he can to bring defeat in your life. So are you going to let him? We get the final say. We get the choice. Are we going to let him defeat us? D.L. Moody used to say this. He said, There are two reasons why I believe that there is a real devil. He said, number one, the Bible says so. And he said, number two, I've done business with him. I've done business with him. Have you done business with Satan? Right? Have you done business with Satan? Satan in this world now is working overtime. He is working overtime and he is in warp speed. He knows his time is limited. Okay? He knows that very soon he's going to be cast into the lake of fire where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. In Revelation 20, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The devil is a defeated foe. He's already been defeated. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he conquered the death. He conquered death, and he defeated Satan, and he defeated Satan forever. Now the devil is a very a powerful foe. He's a real person, but he is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. Right? He's not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at one time. He can only be in one place at one time. And he wants to destroy our lives. But here's the thing with the devil, okay? Said all that, the devil cannot make you and I do anything. You understand that? He cannot make us sin. If we sin, it's because we have chosen to sin. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? If you've been saved, you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. You have the power of God resonating in you, available for you to tap into, to conquer the devil, to defeat Satan. But so many of us Christians, we don't do that. We want to fight him in our own strength. We want to go to battle with him in our own power. And I'll tell you what, he's been doing this a whole lot longer than we've been around. He knows what works. He knows what he can do for each one of us to get us to fall and to get us to sin. Right? He knows what to do. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to be fearing God, not the devil. Get that? We need to fear God. Get back to the Bible, what God says. We need to have a fear of God, not a fear of the devil. Because the devil, he's a created being. And and God created hell for the devil. In Matthew 25:41, the Bible says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hey, that's the ultimate place, the ultimate ending spot for the devil and all his angels. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's coming. The day is coming very quick, very soon. That's going to happen. And so today, we're just going to look at a few things. I got a few things here. I want to give us some reminders of who our enemy really is. Who our enemy really is. First of all, I want you to see here that Satan is a blinder to the truth. Okay, Satan is a blinder to the truth. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn it over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look here at Satan is a blinder to the truth. He wants to blind people to the truth. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 4, in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Like I said a minute ago, Satan is the little g god of this world. He is a blinder to the truth. His plan is to blind every person, to keep you blinded from salvation, to even knowing Jesus Christ. He wants to keep you blind. And how can he do that? Well, he can do that by getting you to cater to your flesh. He can do that by getting you hooked on the pleasures of sin. You see, the more you're hooked on sin and the more you're catering to yourself and it's all about me. It's all about me, right? The pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And as much as he can keep you hooked on yourself and on the pleasures of sin, you become blinded to the truth. Blinded to the truth. In James 1:14-15, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And sin, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Every single time, right? Sin brings death. When you are blinded, can you see anything? Have you ever been blindfolded? I remember as a kid, we'd play games and sometimes we'd be blindfolded, right? When you're blindfolded, you're blinded, you cannot see anything, right? We play hide and seek or whatever that way, but we'd always say, hey, don't let any light come through the blindfold, right? If there's light, then you can see, right? Darkness, blinded, right? You may think that you're experiencing everything God has for you in this life, but you may be blinded to the truth of the matter. You may be blinded to the truth of the matter. Right? Satan wants to blind you. He wants to keep you blinded. Satan is going to come at us. He is going to attack us. every single day he is going to bring with him the snares, the tactics, whatever he can bring at us to blind us. He wants us blind to the reality of Jesus Christ. Right? He wants us blind to the reality of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And he wants us to doubt even that Jesus Christ is really God. Right? If the devil or Satan can blind you into that fact of not knowing who Jesus is, he can blind you and you don't really know what life is all about. You'll be like this morning, you'll think that the world was came from a Big Bang. You'll think that man came from a tadpole into a monkey. Right? You'll think that. You'll be blinded. The devil will keep you blinded. Like we looked at this morning in James chapter 1 and verse 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You see, that man was deceived. Right? The devil deceived him, and the devil has kept him blinded. Right? Many people today are on the broad road to destruction. We look around today and we can see so many people in such a hurry, in a rush. Where are they going? They're on the broad road to destruction. They're one heartbeat away from hell, and the devil wants to keep them that way. The devil wants to keep them blinded to the gospel to get them saved. The devil wants to keep them blinded to the very fact of what God says, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you ever talked with somebody and you ask them, "Hey, have you ever sinned?" Right? You'd be amazed at how many people out there would say, "No, I've never sinned." Right? There are a lot of people I've talked to, if you're talking to them and witnessing to them, and you can't get past the first point. Right? "No, I've never sinned. I'm a good person." Well, if you've never sinned, then obviously you do not need a Savior. Right? And so the devil has blinded them to the very basic, fundamental truths of the fact of all mankind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the devil will use tactics just like that. He will use those like we looked at this morning. "Yea, hath God said." Hey, did God really say that? And did God really mean it? But here's the thing. The devil cannot keep you from the gospel if you want it. Right? The day that I got saved, he wasn't stopping me. Right? He may have had me blind for years. Right? And had me blind in my sin. But that day, he couldn't blind me anymore. The truth of the glorious gospel was resonated and the Holy Spirit was working in my life. And I called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. But over the years, I've been talking with people and knocking on their doors. And I'll be talking with somebody and we're going through the plan of salvation, right? The Romans road, right? Showing them the Bible. And you're like, and they're going through it. And like, "Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe Jesus died for me." And you believe, "Man, this person's ready to be saved," right? And all of a sudden, what happens? The phone starts ringing. The dog starts barking. A car pulls in the driveway. The kids are crying and screaming. Something happened, right? The devil is trying to get his claws in there and do whatever he can to keep people blinded from the gospel. I've seen it over and over again. Right? I've seen the people blinded by the devil of the gospel. Hey, salvation is not wrapped up in good works. It's in believing the gospel. You go out, you preach the gospel, you give people the gospel, you see people saved. The devil is going to fight that. He doesn't want people saved. The devil has blinded so many people with religion. With religion and good works and all these things. But they left out Jesus and everything. Hey, turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The week before, last Saturday, not yesterday, the week before, knocked on this door, a lady's door and introduced ourselves and began talking with her. And I asked her the question. I said, "Do you know for sure when you die, you'd go to heaven?" I said, "If you take your last breath today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven?" And she kind of chuckled at me and she said, "Well, do you?" And I was like, "Oh, yes. Let me tell you." Right? And so I was able to just go into everything. Right? She didn't really believe that you could know you was going to heaven. But here in 1 John, look there in 1 John chapter 5. Start there in verse 11. It says, "And this is the record." Right here is the record. God has given us the record right here. For eternal life, right here. For this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. His Son is Jesus Christ. And verse 12 says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It breaks it down real simple, doesn't it? There's 8 billion people in the world today, and each one of those 8 billion people are in one of these two classes of people in verse number 12. You either have the Son and you have life, or you do not have the Son and you do not have life. It's that simple. It is broken down into that group, two groups. Which group are you? Right? Which group are you? But here's verse 13, so my point. Verse 13 tells us we can know we're going to heaven. Verse 13 tells us we can know we have eternal life. He says, these things, again, the Bible, have I written unto you, here you go, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that's a K-N-O-W, know, that you have eternal life. Right? You can know you have eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. You can have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. And that's the only reason whenever she asked me that question that I lit up, because now I can explain to you how I know. Not because I'm a good person, I'm not. Not because I've done this and done this, because that doesn't mean anything. It's all in that Jesus Christ died for me on that cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And in verse 12, I'm on the class that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that I've been born again. I've been saved. And that's why I know. No other reason. But hey, the devil wants to blind you to that. Right? He wants to keep these people blinded. But the Bible says in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The devil is a blinder. Over in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus came because He wants to turn you from darkness to light. He wants to turn you from a child of the devil to a child of God, born again into His family. But the devil wants to keep you blind. Let me give you a second point here. I want you to see here that we have an enemy in Satan, and not only is he a blinder to the truth, Satan is a destroyer. He is a destroyer of everything good and righteous. He is a destroyer of everything good and righteous in this world. If you could flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 there, and look at verse 8. It's a familiar passage there, dealing with the devil and with Satan. I want you to see here that Satan is a destroyer of everything good and righteous. In 1 Peter 5, 8, the Bible tells us there to be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan, he is our adversary. He is our enemy. He wants to destroy us. He's walking around. He gives a picture here of a lion. Okay, you know, if you've ever watched the animal shows and the lions attacking a pride of a bunch of deer or gazelles, right? They don't just go in and jump and start attacking, right? They'll prowl. They'll roar around. They'll kind of poke at them, right? They're looking to find the weak one, right? They're looking to find the injured one. They're looking to find the one that might get separated, okay? And so that devil's doing the same thing a lion does. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, all right? Just like a lion does. He is our adversary. And so the Bible tells us here that we got to be vigilant. We got to be vigilant. We got to watch. We got to be sober. We got to pay attention. We got to know what's going on around us, right? Because why? Because our adversary, the devil, wants to destroy us, okay? I remember whenever I was stationed in South Korea, we did a trip to the DMZ. Right, the DMZ is the line of North Korea and South Korea. Right, and so you can go there. It's a tourist place, and they do tours and everything. But we go there, and we're literally standing right. You know, North Korean soldiers are right there. You know, and they are standing there at attention with their weapons, and they're watching. Right, they're vigilant to everything going on. hey, if some yahoos try to cross over in the line, hey, they're paying attention and they're ready to take care of that, right? They're watching, they're vigilant, right? Just like we're to do. We're to be watching, we're to be vigilant, because Satan is a destroyer. You know, I've seen some of the greatest attacks from Satan right after some of the greatest spiritual victories. Can you agree with me on that? Have you seen that? Yeah. Hey, lead somebody to the Lord today, and the devil is going to attack. Right? Have a great day on bus and bring a bunch of kids in on the bus, and the devil is going to attack. Right? Lead some people to the Lord, and the devil is going to attack. He is going to attack. And we need to be alert. We need to be watching. We need to know the Scriptures. In Matthew 26:41, the Bible says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, just the command there to watch, right? But also to pray. Be sober, be vigilant. That Satan is that little g god of this world. He is a destroyer. He wants to destroy us. In Revelation chapter 9, in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And they had a king over them," talking about Satan here, "which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." Talking about Satan here. Apollyon means destroyer. He is the destroyer. Satan is the destroyer. We got to get that in our mind. Satan is real. He is the destroyer. He wants to blind you. He wants to destroy you. And John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy." Right? That is Satan. Let me tell you, this world is a mess. Satan has got his claws, his grip on this world. You know, you look at the alcohol industry. There is multi-millions and millions of dollars in the alcohol industry. And let me tell you, that alcohol destroys. Okay? Alcohol destroys. Okay? Nothing good comes from alcohol. Right? The Bible tells us that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, you see all the billboards and all the commercials about, oh, they're having such a great time, but they don't tell you what happens after. They don't tell you what's behind the scenes of the drunk driving accidents, of the murders in the homes that some of these kids that are living in with their parents doing those things. I'm telling you, alcohol destroys. You know what else destroys? You know what else the devil has his grip in? This world's music. Rock music, country music, CCM music, yes. The devil has his paws in it. He is destroying the youth and the people of this country by way of music. You know what else destroys? You know what else the devil has his grip in this world is pornography. Pornography. Right? All over this world they say, you know, sex sells. You got to have this for that and that for this. And it's such a big money-making industry. But I'm going to tell you, it destroys. Right? We give kids a cell phone. And the cell phone, they could do anything they want on that cell phone. They can go to places. I couldn't even imagine the places that they go. When I grew up, you would have to go specifically to a place that sold that kind of stuff. But today, we give kids 6, 7, probably even younger, but 8, 10, 12-year-old kids, cell phones with no parameters, and they can go on there, and the things that they can look at are wicked, 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 evil, evil, evil. And the devil is destroying our youth by these ways. By three things right there, the devil has destroyed the youth in this world. He is a destroyer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:6, the Bible says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Why? Because we have an enemy. And that enemy wants to blind us, and he also wants to destroy us. I'm going to give you a third thing here. I want you to see here that Satan is a deceiver of all mankind. He is the deceiver. He will deceive us. If you could turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. The Bible says there, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Let me tell you this. God created man and He created women. We looked at those verses this morning. He created us differently. He created us differently. He created us with different purposes. He created us with different natures. For instance, women were created with more of an open and trusting personality. Right? They are more of a tender nature. And it's because of this trusting and tender nature that they're able to follow along easily more than a man is. And they can be led astray more easily than a man. Typically speaking, not saying everybody, but typically speaking. And this is what happened with Adam and Eve. Right? Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, right, the temptation came when Eve was deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. Satan's job is to deceive human beings. And he uses many devices. He has many tactics. And he's been doing this for a long, long time. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. And he replied, a piece of the truth. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? He asked. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. You see, truth taken out of context and twisted is the basis for so many false religions and cults out there. The devil is a deceiver. He has deceived this world. If you could turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, start there in verse number 15. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. He wrote it to the church in Corinth, and the church of Corinth had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of issues, and Paul's trying to correct these issues. One of these issues here, Paul's dealing with here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look there in verse number 15. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." Right? He's dealing with fornication in the church here. He says, "What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple," you get that, "the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, in the letter, there's no chapter breaks. All right, so the letter continues on, and we're going to continue on in verse chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Like I said, Paul is dealing here with fornication. The church in Corinth was a wicked place. Okay, it was a very immoral place at the time, and the culture was very wicked. But let me tell you that the culture doesn't make it right. Right? Doesn't make it right if it's against God. And just because the culture says it's okay, doesn't make it okay. Our culture that we live in says many things are okay, but that doesn't make it okay. God says here not to commit fornication. And He goes as far as this. He says, don't even touch a woman. It's good for a man not even to touch a woman. And here's the point He's making. If you don't touch a woman before you're married, you won't commit fornication, will you? No. He says it's good if you don't even touch a woman. In Matthew 5, verse 28, the Bible says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You see, the problem is we have a group of young people, a group of generations brought up in our country that were given cell phones with no parameters to look at whatever they want. And we go to places like TikTok and we go to these movies that we get online and we watch these movies and we watch things from Hollywood and we watch all these things and we take all that in and it's all wicked and it's wicked and it's wicked and it's against the Bible, you know, and we learn how to date and we learn how to pick mates from those things that have nothing to do with God. He's telling us here that we belong to Jesus Christ. Our body is not our body. We've been bought with a price. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. We belong to Him. But you know what the old devil wants to do? He wants to deceive you. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? Right? It's legal to do, so why can't I do it? Let me tell you, the devil wants to deceive you. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the Bible says this, "For this is the will of God." For this is the will of God. So listen closely, because this is the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. He says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Hey, look, you're to abstain from fornication until you get married. Until you are married, and once you are married, then that's fine. But you got to wait until you're married. In James 4:7, the Bible says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin." Hey, that devil is going to do what he can to blind you. That devil is going to do what he can to deceive you. That devil is going to do what he can to destroy you. And let me give you a fourth thing here. Satan is a tempter and he wants to tempt us into sin. He wants us to fall, to commit, to dedicate our life. Anything that he can do to tempt us to get into sin, he is going to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." He is a tempter, and he has many devices. He has many clever ways, more clever ways than we can ever think of, because he's been at it for a long time, and he knows what works. There's nothing new under the sun, okay? What worked in Paul's time is going to work on us today, right? And the devil knows how to do that. Every sin that we commit is preceded with a temptation. We get tempted first by looking, by seeing. We get tempted. But the thing of it is, if we can figure out how to overcome temptation, you know, we can wipe sin out. Right? We can conquer sin. We can defeat sin. And the answer to conquering sin is to conquer the temptation. So what did Jesus do? Matthew chapter 4. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 4, you know, Jesus is our example. He gave us great examples to follow. Right? So when temptations come, what do? When Satan is tempting us, where do we go? How do we battle it? In Matthew chapter 4, the devil, Satan, tempts Jesus. Right? In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says there, "Then was Jesus," and get this, "led up of the Spirit." You got to get it right off the bat. Verse number 1. He was led by what? The Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger." He was at his lowest peak, but he was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was leading him. And in verse 3, the Bible says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Hey, whenever the devil comes at us and is tempting us, what do we do? Are we led of the Spirit? Are we filled with the Spirit? We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Are we filled with the Spirit? We have to be filled with the Spirit in order to defeat Satan. And get this here, after reading this, get this. Hey, the devil was not afraid to tempt Jesus Christ. Think about that for a second. Satan was not afraid when he went to go tempt Jesus. He went to him boldly, right? And so what makes us think that Satan's not going to tempt us? If he was able to boldly go to Jesus Christ and tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew who he was, why would he not so much more tempt us? And we need to get a hold of that. But what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture, right? He quoted Scripture there in verse 4. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You see, when these three, there's three temptations there from the devil, from Satan. Each one of those, Jesus counteracts him with Scripture. The devil comes at you. What's your defense? What are you fighting them with? It's got to be this. It has to be this, period. Right here. If it's anything else, the devil will devour you. If you do not read, listen, if you do not read this Bible every day, the devil will devour you. Okay? I'm going to give you a warning. Okay? The devil will devour you if you're not reading your Bible every day. If you're not studying your Bible every single day. It's a must. You have to do it. You have to start there. You have to read your Bible every day. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God drives deep. It's the only thing that we can take to Satan to defeat him. The Word of God. Jesus is our example. That's exactly what He did. Now, someone had asked General Douglas MacArthur, what is the most important lesson that a soldier fighting a war needs to learn? What's the most important thing for a soldier coming up to know? And Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, he must learn quickly that there is no substitute for victory. Get it? There's no substitute for victory, and the same is true in the Christian life. We must strive for victory in this life. Victory, right? We don't want to be defeated. We don't want to live a defeated life. Let the devil have his way with us. We need to live a victorious Christian life. If you try to substitute anything for victory as you live for the Lord, you will never experience true Christian joy. You'll never experience true Christian joy. And here's where we're at in most of Christianity today. Most Christians today are waving the white flag of defeat. They're waving the white flag of surrender, of defeat, instead of waving the red flag of victory. Too many Christians quit on the Lord before their time. Too many quit. Paul didn't quit. He pressed on. He finished the course, right? He did it to the end. But too many people think that people are their enemy. Satan is our enemy. He is our enemy. We have to fight him. I'm not your enemy. The person next to you is not your enemy. Satan is our enemy. So as I get ready to conclude here, we looked at this here at, well, who is Satan? Satan is our enemy, right? So how can I defeat Satan? Let me give you some pointers here on how to defeat Satan. Take note, they're pretty fundamental, okay? Pretty fundamental. Number one, you got to study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You got to study the Scriptures, okay? Number one, you got to know the Scriptures. Right, that's why we memorize Scripture. You got to memorize Scripture on your own as well. You got to read the Scripture. You got to study the Scripture. You got to know the Scripture. So when the devil comes at you, you know how to counteract him. Okay, that's number one on how to defeat the enemy. Number two, you got to spend much time in prayer. Okay, much time in prayer. How much time do we spend in prayer in reality? Right? Probably everybody would, not enough. Right? But we must spend much time in prayer. We have the command to pray without ceasing. And Luke 18:1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're to always be praying. Okay? Spending much time in prayer. And you know what another one is? Hey, if you're going to defeat Satan, you got to repent of all known sin. Remember in Psalm 66:18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me." So if there's sin that I have in my heart that's unconfessed sin, and I try to pray, my prayers ain't going above the ceiling. If I have unconfessed sin, if I have bitterness, anger, sin in my heart, the Lord is not going to hear me. But we have the promise when it comes to sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, do you want to defeat Satan? Do you want to have a victorious life? You got to study the Word of God. You got to spend much time in prayer. You got to repent of your sin. You got to lift up the Savior. What I mean by that is in John 3:30, the Bible says, He must increase, but I must decrease. All right? Less and less of me, and more in Him. Fill your mind and your heart and your soul and your time with Jesus Christ, exhorting Him. He must increase in all areas of our life, in all aspects of who I am. It needs to be all about Him. All about Him, not about me. And you know what else we need to do? Win some souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to fight the devil? You want to beat him? Let's go win some souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, He that winneth souls is wise. Let me give you one more thing to conquer, to defeat Satan. Hey, we need to watch for his return. Right, so we not only need to study the Word, we got to read the Word, know the Word, we got to spend a lot of time in prayer and repent of our sin, and the Savior must increase, and we need to win souls, but we also need to watch for his return. If you would flip over to Matthew chapter 24 real quick here, and we're just about to close. But Matthew 24, look there in verse 44. In Matthew 24, start there in verse number 44. We need to be watching for His... He can come right now, okay? We need to live our lives like He could come right now. We need to be watching for Him to come. In Matthew 24, verse 44, the Bible says, Therefore be ye also ready. Are you ready? For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Hey, are we working for the Lord? Are we doing His will? Are we seeking His will? If He comes right now, will He find us faithful? Right? If He comes right now, He's at least found us faithful to be in the house of God. He's found us faithful to be where we're supposed to be. But if He comes tomorrow, will He find you faithful in doing what you do on Monday? Will He find you faithful if it's Tuesday, doing what you do on Tuesday? Will He find you faithful if it's Wednesday? Will He find you faithful? Hey, the devil is already defeated. You get that? He's already a defeated foe. We spend so much time trying to battle him, when the answers to winning and living a victorious life are right there in front of us. Right? I've given you a few here today. Hopefully you'll pick those up and you'll be able to put them in your life. In James 4:7, the Bible says, Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So as we leave here, we need to constantly be remembering that we need to submit ourselves to the Lord, and we need to resist the devil, fight him back, and he will flee. That's the promise. That's the promise. Get close to God, submit yourselves to him, resist the devil, and he will flee. Hey, do you know Satan? Do you know him personally? Have you done battle with him? Do you win any of those battles? Or do you constantly lose? You can defeat him. Do you want to defeat him? Do you get the victory? The victory is there for the taking. Will you take it? Let's pray.